Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Jay Myers back on the show. Jay's a member of our Brain Trust, and he's a small business owner just like you, just like me. He's out there every day trying to slay the dragon, trying to survive 2009 so we can thrive in 2010. He's the author of Keep Swinging, which is a book about survival. And he's our good friend, Jay Myers. Welcome back to the show.
Appreciate it, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Jay, to be here on the show?
It's always a lot of fun, Jim, and you're one of the few people I would get up this early in the morning to be a part of something.
Stop your whining. Hey, Jay, congratulations. I got to give you some kudos. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say before, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. Jay, once again, what's this, like the 29th time you've received recognition from Inc. magazine, 2009 Inc. 5000 company? I mean, congratulations. That's great.
Well, thank you. Not that many times, Jim, but it's actually the fourth time. We've made the Inc. 500 list a couple of times, and then the Inc. 5000 list a couple of times.
All right, so time out. So you made the 500 before, and now it's the 5,000. Would you take a day off or something? What happened?
Well, you know, the whole journey to get to the 500 list as well as the 5,000 is very competitive, first off. And the other part of it is, as you know, get the organization growing and revenues and things, it gets much harder, you know. So for the qualification for the 2009 list, you know, we had to grow revenues almost up to $15 million. Previous baseline is what they kind of call it from the start year of about $10 million. So it's a significant accomplishment. Real proud of my organization. Great job. And
what did you learn growing your business to that level? What did you learn about growth versus quality?
Well, it's interesting. You know, when you get the business going, it's something that you just want to survive and kind of, you know, get past the next month and the year and so on. And as it gets larger, you know, you have different challenges. And I think that in my case, I wasn't really sure what size business I really wanted to have. And I'm not even sure today, necessarily.
Isn't that a classic question that every small business owner asks themselves? I mean, isn't that that's part of the DNA question, the fundamental questions, the prime, you know, the prime question, how big do I want this thing to be?
It really is, and I mean, particularly with the folks at Inc., where they have some of these companies that are just hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, you start surrounding yourself with some of those kind of people and think, I need to, you know, compete with those kind of folks or whatever. I never really felt too much like that, but I have, you know, tried to ask myself how big do I want it. And, you know, Jim, it's interesting. I think as a small business folks and all your listeners out there, I think that the fundamental question, and this is very simplistic, I will tell you, but I think, you know, you got to ask yourself, are you still having fun?
Yeah.
You know, is it still fun and a neat challenge for you at whatever level you get the business? And I can answer that, but, you know, it still is real fun. Some days are better than others, but it's changed. You know, now I look more at things about people development and you know, team development as opposed to just getting the sale for the next day to make payroll kind of thing.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing. Your business is who you are. And some people grow a business and their goal, they have one singular goal, is to grow this business and have an exit strategy and, you know, and clip the coupons and go do something else. And then some people love what they do so much, the industry that they're in, they love what they do so much. It's not that they don't want to clip coupons. It's just that they can't imagine not doing what they're doing, just maybe more successfully.
Well, it's exactly right. And I'm going to give a plug to my son on something related to that. But, Jim, you know, as it gets further along in your business and everything, and we're out there almost 14 years later now, I think people, friends, family, and everything observe what's happened. And everybody knows my story that I started my business after I got fired from this company and I had no money coming in and so on. I think people really, particularly today as we all struggle, people like a good story, you know, that that somebody's been able to build themselves up and make a success out of something when you have difficult times. And I started to say, I plug in my son. My son's doing Jordan, that's up in Chicago, just recently graduated from DePaul University.
Congratulations,
Dad. Give him that plug, magna cum laude, thank you very much, and has a job.
Yeah.
But he wrote
obviously,
a blog.
Obviously had a great mother.
A great mother, but he did write a blog the other day, and he plugged basically the story of, you know, how I got started, and he was trying to send a message to his fellow college graduates that, you know what, my dad got fired, and he built up a successful business. You can go and find a job in this economy, stop whining, and get it done.
Right.
And so I'll send it to you.
Which he promptly did.
He did, and he didn't worry about it.
He took his own advice, didn't he?
He really did. He took his own advice, and I'm very flattered that he is a role model. But, you know, I think the message is very, you know, pretty simple. I mean, you can't sit around and feel sorry for yourself.
Well, and the other good thing is you get a raise now, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
When the kids get out of school and get a job, that's when mom and dad get a raise.
Well, I've got a daughter down at Savannah, Georgia, at the art school, so you know, whatever raise I just got, it's going some of it down there. So
exactly,
it's all relative.
but you know, back to this thing about you know, how big do you want to be? You know, that's, I wrote an article about this once, and I've forgotten the title, but you can search around on my site if you want, folks, and look for it. But I said, you got to ask yourself some questions. You know, if you before you grow, you have to ask yourself some questions. And you mentioned the first one a minute ago. You said, you know, will I enjoy this? Will it still be fun if I grow? Because you and I have both seen people grow their business to the point where it was not fun anymore. And then, you know, then you have to ask yourself questions like, if I grow, will my organization be able to handle it? And if I grow, do I have the capital to fund that growth? I mean, you have to ask yourself a lot of questions before you grow your business, don't you?
That's exactly right, Jim. And, you know, my business is not huge. I mean, we have 38 employees right now, and, you know, the revenues are pretty nice. We hope to do, honestly, what we did last year, almost $15 million, you know, a little shy of that.
And but that'll be a success story in 2009, though.
Huge. It would be huge, honestly.
Yeah.
We'd be very happy with that. But I think, you know, it's, you know, the numbers and things, you just have to be comfortable with what it is that makes you happy. And for some people, they can manage an organization of a few hundred people, and it's fine, and they build teams and departments, and that's great. I'm more of a type that I like to have the relationship with my employees and know their children and their wives and things. So, you know, we're struggling a little bit with that, but we're getting there. You know,
Hold on to that thought, Jay. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Jay Myers is our guest. His book is called Keep Swinging. I know it's available wherever books are sold. His company is called Interactive Solutions. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what he's doing 2009 to be hanging in there so well. It's 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. We built it just for you. You can do lots of things there. You can listen. You can read. You can ask questions. You can check out my blog. Subscribe to my newsletter. Check out our Brain Trust members. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something you can read or listen to on any topic under the Small Business Sun. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Jay Myers is our guest. He's the president, award-winning president of the award-winning company, Interactive Solutions. Once again, folks, for like the 116th time or something like that. No, maybe only four. The Inc. Magazine's top companies in the country. His book is called Keep Swinging. Jay, give us that website, please.
Well, there's two websites for ISI. It's ISIPN, like Tennessee, .com. And my book has a website, keepswingingbook.com. A bunch of stuff on there, interviews with Jim and other folks, as well as some neat videos. We were recently on a TV show.
You've been on other people's show? I thought I was the only one, Jay.
Jim, you are the only one.
Have you been stepping out on me, Jay?
Not much, Jim. We actually did TV over in South Carolina, a real fun station, the Hilton Head station over there, Jim. It was a books and authors show. And I was real flattered because Chris O'Donnell, the host, has actually interviewed people like John Jakes, Pat Conroy on that same show before. So I was real flattered.
Yeah,
very fun.
There you go. Well, I know those guys were flattered to hear about you being interviewed too, though. Hey, Jay.
Not so much.
Let's talk about what have you done in 2009? What has been the key to your not only survival, but I mean, you guys are replicating 2008 almost in terms of your volume this year. Have you done that in the face of this downturn?
Well, I think there's some interesting verticals that we've been able to grow, healthcare in particular with telemedicine.
Yep.
And that's a real exciting product line for us, where we're actually having equipment installed in one location, like a tertiary care hospital, a hub city, and Little Rock is one place where we've been very, very successful in reaching out to rural communities.
So you've gone where the business is.
Absolutely.
You didn't try to force business in an area that you know maybe was on the skids. You went toward you gravitated toward where the opportunity was.
Exactly right. I mean, you know, my motto for 2009 has kind of been, you know, this is not the year to get cute. You know, this is the year to buckle down and just get it done. And so healthcare has been very strong for us. The momentum was going strong.
But why was it your choice or one of your choices over manufacturing or some other industry?
You know, Jim, I'm not that smart. I'm not this marketing guru. I just knew that in 2008 we had momentum building for healthcare and was coming out of 08 strong. And so we've just been riding that horse through 09. Just nothing really dramatic. But the other part of it, too, is, you know, we've also had a couple other markets that have been good for us, private colleges and some universities that are not so sensitive to state budgets and things. And
What would you have used? What was your biggest sector, say, 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
Probably 2 years ago, it might have been some manufacturing, those kind of, you know, corporate enterprise.
But you guys, you could see that in 08 and 09, that kind of capital spending was winding down, was drying up.
Exactly.
And so you just moved toward where the opportunity was. And I think what the message to me, Jay, is that you guys didn't get stuck to some idea about how you should make a living. You did what you had to do to make changes to adjust.
Jim, that's exactly right. We don't fall in love with applications. We fall in love with customers that spend money with us.
Say that again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be on the test. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay. Well, you know, we don't fall in love with applications. We fall in love with customers who spend money with us. And it's a very simplistic strategy, but, you know, when we have customers in healthcare that are spending money with us, and a lot of it, we migrate that way, and then we continue to grow that, just as we've done with private colleges and universities. And, you know, we're not a bunch of rocket scientists around my business. Some of our engineers surely are, but for the sales team, you know, we just go and work hard every day to present products and services that make sense for people and markets that are still spending money, you know, and we don't go out there and try to beat our heads against a brick wall. If it doesn't work one way, we go another, and healthcare particularly has just been great for us. And we hope to actually take that, Jim, at some point in the future on a national scale. We've been successful in 5 states already with the technology, Tennessee, Alabama.
But then you're going to – but now, Jay, if you do that, you've got to ask yourself these questions. You know, we got to ask those growth questions. Are you going to be happy with a national company, Jay?
Well, we're going to look at that. I mean, we're going to take the application.
But you have to ask those questions, don't you? How do I fund this growth?
Right.
Will my organization handle it?
Right.
Whether you're growing from
look at that.
Whether you're growing from 100,000 to 200,000, or from 5 million, 15 million to 100 million, you got to ask those questions.
Well, the last part of that thing, you know, the thinking on that is, it's kind of like the Marines motto, or whatever, be all you can be. I mean, that's always been our thing. We don't want to limit ourselves as to what we can be. We don't also want to outrun our headlights. If we can make sure that we can, you know, do a good job for people. There's a practical side of this, Jim. We may not be able to sell in California effectively, honestly, maybe not in Boston, but there's some places in mid-America that we can expand our reach and do some good things for them.
Well, and just not to be picky, but I think that's the Army that said be all you can be. My Marine son would be mad if I didn't point that out.
That's good. Okay,
hey, Jay, give us
sure I got it right.
We need that website again, please.
ISITN, like Tennessee, .com.
All right, and keep swinging book.com too, right?
InkSwingingBook.com. It's on a bunch of websites, Barnes & Noble.
Thank you, Jay. Take care of yourself, buddy. We'll be back after this break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.